There's no place like home for the heart.
Two friends on the couch, a summer night. Horror flicks bringing out the fright. Sipping soda, laughing at the scene. Fat boy summer, living out our dreams. Here we are in the globe, the screen. Just two fat boys living a horror dream. Midnight snacks, popcorn in the air. Chasing shadows without a care. Cracking jokes, making memories. Late night horror, just you and me. In this golden glow we own the night. Two fat boys in a summer light. Laughing loud through the scary scenes. Handful of chips living out our dreams. With every jump scare we scream and shout. This fat boy summer's what it's all about.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And it's week two of Fat Boy Summer. We're out here on the road.
We're out here on this road, Jay. And you know what I have to say to this audience?
What?
I take off your bra.
Oh, shit. We're candy caning again.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. This time he's in a new truck.
And has a different voice and a different body.
Yes.
But he's still Rusty Nail. This is more what the new Rusty Nail sounds like.
That's right, Jay.
I'm Rusty Nail.
And my favorite thing is, like, he shows up, literally, like, says the first thing that, like, Ted Levine says.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, says the thing about, like, the cleansing
like how
rain.
The rain washes everything away.
And it's like, but you're not Ted Levine. Like, no. That's right. We're talking about Joyride 2, Dead Ahead.
You know what makes me think it's going to be a great sequel, Jay? When they wait 7 years to make it.
Yeah, we're hitting the road. Released October 7th, 2008.
Yeah.
What took them so long?
Striking while the iron's hot for this Joyride thing.
So not only did it take them a long ass time with way less budget, this is a straight to DVD movie, but
literally nothing about this movie required this much time. This could have been made in like a weekend.
This didn't even have to be a Joyride movie. And all right, we'll get to it at the end. This did not need to be a Joyride. This could have been its own thing. Yeah. Like, who 7 years later was pounding down the door? We need a new Joyride.
With none of the original people, of course.
We're not going to pay for Steve Zahn or Lily Sobieski or Paul Walker. He's already being Fast and Furious. You know, they could have paid for Ted Levine, but they chose not to.
Yeah.
Instead, we've got a bunch of Canadians, because I counted at least two stories.
There's some stories in here. Again, the hallmark of a great sequel. Your good American actors have been replaced by our neighbors to the north.
Directed by Louis Morneau, who also directed The Hitcher 2, I've Been Waiting.
Ooh.
Which I so has some experience with
hitching.
road trip movies. James Robert Johnston was a writer, and then we've also got Bennett Yellen as a writer who wrote Dumb and Dumber and Dumb and Dumber 2, and is also apparently writing a new Police Academy movie.
Just,
clearly straight off the success of fucking Liam Neeson.
Yes, and the brand new amazing, you should definitely go see Naked Gun.
Yeah, the new Naked Gun's great.
Edited by Michael Jackson. I'm sorry, Mike Jackson.
I just made a movie about that guy, I think.
I heard about that, yeah.
About the famous editor. Nikki A. Cox is Melissa. Nick Zano is Bobby. Laura Jordan is Kayla. Kyle Schmidt is Nick.
Yes.
We replaced Ted Levine with Mark Gibbon, who's our Rusty Nail.
From what I saw, fairly prolific stuntman.
Daniel Bolu is Bald Trucker, and Jeff, we saw him earlier this year as Shy Guy in Valentine.
Ah, yeah, of course.
You know, Shy Guy.
Yep.
Also known as Joyride, End of the Road.
Hmm.
IMDb estimated the budget at $5 million.
You forgot the most important character, Jay. Crystal Verba played Lot Lizard in the beginning. Gotta love those Lot Lizards.
Oh, Lot Lizard. R.I.P.
I want to point out that she's in the credits as Lot Lizard slash prostitute, as if those are two different things.
Those are two different things. the latest figure I have is that this movie has just made over $4 million.
I could believe it.
Here we are. Yes. I mean, granted, I don't know when that figure was last updated.
Here we are.
But here we are almost 20 years later.
I mean, it deserved to make no money, so here we go.
So yeah, here we are with it making no money. Where to watch Fandango.
Yeah, just buy the collection. Like we said, Joyride 1 is worth the $14.99, and then you just get the other two.
Like, go to, I'm sure at some used DVD place, you can find a copy.
There's, if you want physical copies, there's used ones on Amazon for like $5.
It would not surprise me if, like we said last week, it's gonna be on Tubi at some point.
Definitely on Tubi.
That's where I think I saw all of them originally.
I was going to say, Joyride is a Tubi franchise if I've ever seen one.
In fact, that's kind of my personal experience. I believe it's Pippi Drippy on all over the internet. Pat, he had posted something about like horror movies you didn't know had sequels and listed Joyride 2 and Joyride 3. He's like, did you know like... He's like, the 2001 kind of classic Joyride has two sequels. And so I was like, well, shit, I'm going to watch the two sequels. And I reported back to him, and I'm like, they're not good. Do not watch these.
Yes, Jay, your instincts were correct. This movie was filmed in British Columbia.
Disgusting. I had a feeling.
Basically, they used all Canadian locations. I don't think there was any U.S. photography. And you do, I think, want to know, though, their marketing campaign for this thing. Because, you know, it's a direct-to-DVD release.
Mm-hmm.
They marketed it as an unrated release in all their marketing materials.
If you turn around behind you there, Jeff, on the, I believe on the shelf right at your level, there's my thing. It literally says Joyride 2.
Unrated.
Dead ahead. Unrated.
We got unrated, ladies and gentlemen. Unrated.
And there's a lady in clearly her bra and underwear in the headlights of a semi-truck.
One of the only memorable scenes of the entire movie.
Anything else, or are we ready to synopsize?
I think these fat boys are ready to hit the road.
We see a man at a truck stop buying a pack of cigarettes. He leaves the store into the rain and is chased by a woman telling him to slow down. The man gets in his truck and the woman asks him if he's looking for company. Hey there, sailor. Are you looking for company?
Is that a Lot Lizard / prostitute I see?
He opens the door and the Lot Lizard says it's pretty shitty out. And then we hear the old refrain. I like the rain. It washes the streets clean.
Keeps people inside. Washes the streets clean.
This woman just got in Rusty Nail's truck. She's fucked.
I take off your bra.
He takes off her bra. No, she tells him her prices. And after he tells her to take off her wig, how much money it costs for an HJ, a BJ, a ZJ.
No, man.
If you got to ask what a ZJ is, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And she goes to leave after Rusty creeps her out a bunch, but the door won't unlock, and Rusty's like, then climb out the window. And she starts to go out the window, at which point he then raises it back up and starts driving, and drives her straight into the back of another semi-truck, basically like splatting her head against the side of it.
Yes.
Title card.
Obviously, the most subtle and appropriate way to kill somebody if you're trying not to be immediately arrested, Jay. Splatter them on the side of your truck in another truck.
I mean, Jeff, this is the same guy who just goes around graffitiing businesses and highways.
That's true.
We get more of that in this movie. They try to play all the hits. I will give them that. Are they as effective? No. We see Bobby sleeping, and Melissa starts screaming to watch out. We see the back of a semi-truck barreling towards us. but it's just being towed by another semi-truck. What a prank. I've actually had that happen before. for a class we had gone to, we had to go to Sioux Falls. And on the way back, I had fallen asleep. And apparently everyone in the car knew I had fallen asleep. And so they all started screaming at once on the internet. And I like shot up.
Yeah. Classic.
What a prank.
Classic prank.
Melissa, Bobby, and Kayla are all going to Vegas for a joint bachelorette party. And they talk about their plans as the credits roll.
Some sick shit, Jay. Some very sick shit.
They pull into a rundown roadside gas station, and a wannabe Chris Angel offers to fill up their car. Kayla says he's kind of cute, and he's like, "We ask for payment ahead of time," and they start making out.
It's my online boyfriend.
And it turns out that this emo scene kid Hot Topic mind freak is her boyfriend, Nick, from online. They met on MySpace.
Don't worry, Jay. Nick is incredibly annoying, but he'll only live through almost the entire movie.
Absolutely. Jeff, he is my least favorite character. And you know what? I'm gonna spoil it right now. He's my praise. I hate him so much. Yep. He did such a good job of making me hate him.
Yes, he draws your attention for sure.
Bobby pays for the gas, and Nick has found a shortcut along the back roads. Yeah. That'll never end poorly.
You know, Jay, if there's one thing I love in a horror movie, it's when we take a shortcut down some back roads.
They're cruising along.
The car has horror movie disease and dies.
I was going to say, real fast, in some scenes, Nick has two piercings in his lip. And then in other scenes, there are no piercings in his lip.
Yep, yep.
The car seizes up, I assume because of the continuity error.
We'll wait for that later.
But instead, it's actually because apparently Kayla never changed the gas.
Yes, I didn't change the gas, which is a thing that is a common problem with cars, Jay. I didn't change my gas. Not the oil, not check the radiator, you know, the battery, your classic car problems that could, you know, be easily explained away. It's somebody in a movie like, oh shit, my battery's dead. No, I didn't change my gas.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe she did say oil change. I don't know. Either way, she wasn't taking care of her car.
Honestly, with this movie, it could have been the gas.
They don't have cell signals, convenient.
Of course not.
So they decide to start walking due west along the highway.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
They walk for an indeterminate amount of time because we see like the sun rising and setting in these like stock footage scenes.
Yep, yep.
Until they find a house in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
That appears to be abandoned. Nick breaks through a window and then starts screaming, so Bobby busts the door down, and Nick was just pulling a prank. Classic, I'm gonna pretend like I broke into a house and I'm getting murdered prank. And Bobby's like, "What next? You gonna burn their house down?" Foreshadowing? No.
No.
When he said that line, I was like, do they burn the house down? Like that would be, I'm like, that would actually be really good foreshadowing. It is not foreshadowing.
It is not at all. In a better movie, Jay, yes.
They explore the house and two different people decide to check the phone to find that it's not working. I believe Melissa goes, picks up the phone, finds that it's not working, sets it back down on the receiver, and then Kayla goes to the exact same phone, picks it up, finds that it's not working, and then says, like, none of the phones work. You checked one phone.
Yes, I believe this is an attempt at capturing the Steve Zahn-ness of the first one, but falls completely flat.
They explore the property and find that it backs up to a cliffside.
As in most houses randomly do, yes.
Nick pulls a prank in the barn where everyone's walking away from him, and he throws a hubcap on the ground and screams. What a prank. In the back of the barn, they find a running full tank of gas, 1971 Chevelle with a CB radio in it.
Yeah, I'm not suspicious at all.
Nick says they won't steal it. They'll just borrow it for a little joyride. Hey, they did the thing.
Oh, my God. Stop.
They take the car and drive off. And after that, an ominous semi-truck arrives at the property.
Which, I don't know if you did this, Jay, but I went with the thing that the semi is just haunted and not actually occupied by anybody. It's just following them of its own free will.
Also, Melissa left a note explaining that they stole the car.
Yes.
And gave them her phone number, and she's like, we'll bring it right back.
But little did they know, Jay, that Rusty Nail has his ability from the last movie to know who everyone is and where they are at all times.
At all times. The next day, they decide to head to Cedar City to get a rental car so they can return the Chevelle back to the property that they stole it from.
Yes, don't you love needlessly complicated side plots about car logistics, Jay, a 90-minute movie?
They arrive at the Big Wheels Diner, and Nick proceeds to insult all of the truckers in there, and then Bobby goes to the bathroom, and we see an ominous-looking semi-truck pull up. Melissa asks what's taking so long as the ominous looking semi truck leaves. Melissa gets a phone call, and Rusty Nail calls her Goldilocks and says that he has something of hers, her boyfriend.
Yeah, this is supposed to be reminiscent of the your tail lights out moment, I'm guessing, but does not land anywhere near as well.
She runs to the bathroom, and painted on the stall in red paint, because it's not blood, is "not here" and "Bobby is gone." Rusty calls again and says if she wants to see Bobby alive again, she has to do some things for him.
Oh, boy.
They get on the CB radio in the car, and Rusty tells them to run over their cell phones, and if they do everything he says to the letter, they'll be reunited.
Of course, Jay, of course.
Now, if this was Ted Levine, Rusty Nail, I do believe that if they had just followed the rules, he would have just reunited them, and no one would have gotten hurt.
That was literally his whole thing. The only reason that it turned the way it did in the first ones was because he thought they were lying to him.
Yep. This Rusty Nail is apparently just a psychopath.
He's just a murderer now.
Yeah, there's no subtlety to this Rusty Nail. Rusty says that the first thing that he wants is Kayla's freshly cut finger, since she had flipped him the bird earlier at the truck stop. You gave me the finger, and I want it.
So naturally, Jay, what are we going to do? We're going to go to the morgue and try to get a different finger.
Yep. Kayla sneaks in and attempts to cut the finger off a corpse, but it's just the mortician sleeping on a gurney.
Under a sheet.
Under a sheet for no reason.
Not just covering his body, but his entire head as well. Like how I love to sleep that way, Jay.
Kayla cuts the finger off a corpse and they leave. And we get a scene where then, like, there's a guy who comes out to come talk to them, and it's very reminiscent, once again, trying to copy the original movie, of the, like, when Steve Zahn's trying to hotwire the car, and the guy comes out and he just offers them advice on how to do it.
Yep.
But initially you're supposed to think that it's the guy who owns the car that they're trying to hotwire.
Yeah.
This one, the guy comes up and then he just yells at them, and he's like, "This is a no parking zone. How many times do I have to tell you this?"
Yep.
And you know, with a more charming cast, this scene might have been funny. They arrive at Sahara Gravel Company with "Here" painted on the sign. Kayla and Nick hide, and Rusty tells Melissa to get out of the car and strip down to her underwear to make sure she's not wearing a wire, and to make it slow. He wants to enjoy it.
Now, Jay, in the interest of equality, I do have to point out, as I did before we went live, our boys in the last one had to strip naked. What's the deal?
I don't know.
This Rusty Nail's not as fun as the old one.
I mean, yeah, we got to see Steve Zahn ass in the last movie. And in public, Steve Zahn was hanging dong. Zahn dong.
It's true.
And then after he says that, Rusty Nail gets off and cuts off Bobby's ring finger. Melissa gets in the headlights of the semi-truck, strips, and walks up and places the finger on, like, the foot step up to that you take up to the truck. I don't know if it has an actual term. I'm sure it does.
I couldn't think of it.
Yeah. And the door opens, and it's not Rusty Nail. It's some other trucker, some weird truck driver, who says he pulled over because someone told him that there was going to be quite the show, but Melissa's not her type. He likes super Mongo jugs, circus boobs.
Your titties are too small anyway. I like them super Mongo jugs.
Circus boobs.
Yes.
Is that a term?
No.
Super Mongo, sure. I completely believe it. I've never heard circus boobs as a term before.
Not once in my life. No. Maybe it must be a Canadian thing.
I was
going
to say it must be a Canadian thing. People in Nova Scotia, they're always talking about circus boobs. Melissa gets back in saying they did everything, and Rusty says, no, you didn't, that he saw them at the morgue, and that he knows the difference between a freshly cut live finger and one from a corpse, and if they want to see the difference, to check the glove compartment, where Bobby's finger that he just cut off is inside.
Indeed.
They then listen as... Rusty cauterizes the wound with the car lighter. Melissa asks what he wants, and he says, we're not finished. Heck of a joyride, isn't it? They did the thing again.
Oh my God, they did it.
Rusty pulls over at a bar and buys some cigarettes, and Bobby tries to get help from a guy who's outside the bar, and Rusty walks up behind him and garrots his jaw off, and then says, you see the way that guy's jaw dropped? And throws the severed jaw next to Bobby on the ground and says that if Bobby likes taking chances, he's got quite the game for him.
Some kind of joyride-based game, Jay.
And, you know, once again, obviously trying to, like, emulate the shock of that, of the first movie where you see the guy with his jaw ripped off. Mm-hmm. This is much less effective.
You don't say, Jerry.
At a gas station, by a payphone, Rusty gets back in touch and tells them to get crystal meth.
I was just thinking to myself, how common were payphones in 2008? I don't feel like they were very common.
Not very, but I'm sure they were at like small rundown gas stations. But no, not very common at all. Then again, in 2008, these people are using MySpace. So,
well, don't forget the trucker mentions YouTube too. I'm gonna put the striptease up on YouTube. Get me a million hits.
They find where Rusty wants them to go—a big, like trucker encampment where they're doing.
We're doing a meth party,
a meth party, and truck races. He tells them to check the trunk, and inside is the Lot Lizard's clothes and wig from the beginning of the movie, and says that Nick needs to wear it through the camp to get the meth because of Nick's opinions on truckers from earlier in the movie. We learn because Nick's dad was a trucker, and he hates truckers for some reason.
And somehow Rusty Nail has that information, too.
Who knows?
But yes, you get the classic call. I'm going to need you to dress up like a woman.
I'm going to need you
to take off your bra.
I'm going to need you to put on a bra so I can take off your bra.
Yeah.
Nick initially refuses until Melissa pulls a knife and threatens his life. And Nick immediately drops the tough guy bravado. And he even admits that his tattoos are fake. And he starts like rubbing them off.
This movie needs Steve Zahn bad.
Nick makes his way across the camp, and the girls follow, just wearing the most conspicuous hoodies.
Yeah. Real subtle.
And then out pops Rusty, who takes Nick and tosses him in his truck. They then try to follow his truck, and they get to the exit of the little encampment. But Rusty's truck is somehow behind them.
It's behind them, even though they're following him down a straight road with no turns. It's amazing, isn't it?
He then chases them down the highway and is able to run them off the road and flip their car.
Which, pause here for one of the biggest plot holes in the entire movie. So he's mad that they took his car, proceeds to destroy his car.
Yes. Yep. Jeff, this is exactly what happens. Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
He then slowly backs away and like just keeps slowly backing up down the highway. Kayla comes to and is able to wake Melissa up, and she grabs some broken glass and cuts Melissa free from her seatbelt.
Yes.
But Kayla's leg is pinned and she is trapped inside the driver's seat. And so basically distracts Rusty so Melissa can get out to safety and sacrifices her life. I think is what and happens.
That's what's implied, I think. But yeah, it lands with the impact of a wet noodle.
Because Rusty does think Melissa is dead. He then, yes, as you said, Jeff, he immediately proceeds to plow through the car that he is mad that got stolen with his semi-truck.
Yes. Which, again, this does add, even though that's a 1971 Chevelle, which means that thing is built of solid steel. does absolutely no damage to his truck.
Yeah, his truck's fine. Rusty arrives back at the house from the beginning of the movie and hauls Nick out.
Or Nick, take off your bra.
And Nick's still wearing the lot lizard's clothes. He sits them both at a table in a barn across from each other and tells Nick to roll a pair of dice. And the first time he does, it comes up five, and painted on the wall in red is five kneecap. And he like shoves something through Bobby's kneecap. Bobby then rolls a seven, and apparently seven means you're safe. So nothing happens to Nick. Nick says he doesn't want to roll, and Rusty goes to rip his lip ring out and determines that that's also fake.
That's awesome.
Nick rolls a four, which is chest, and Rusty takes a nail in the shape of an R, a rusty nail,
yeah.
And heats it up with a blowtorch and then brands Bobby with it. Bobby then rolls snake eyes, and Rusty shoves some rebar through Nick's skull.
Ah.
I think that's all that happened. Melissa finds an auto shop, breaks in, and steals a police motorcycle.
Of course.
Rusty hauls Bobby out to his tractor trailer and wraps a chain around his neck, hoisting him up inside. And Melissa arrives. She gets the jump on Rusty and beats him with a shovel. She frees Bobby, who tells her to run, and she flees in the semi-truck. But Rusty is on top and breaks through the window, and they do the classic hand fighting as they're driving down. Bobby is able to escape the trailer, and Rusty kind of gets like thrown back into like the back of the semi.
Yeah.
But then somehow there is a secret passageway that allows him to get inside the semi.
Of course, yes.
Rusty makes his way into the cab and starts, like, I think wraps his hands around like Melissa's neck, and she drives into a propane tank back on the property, lighting the truck on fire, and then drives off a cliff, but she jumps out at the last second.
Somehow, even though she was driving full speed off this cliff, it lands directly at the base of the cliff.
Yep. And we assume Rusty Nail died inside.
Do we really, though?
Bobby and Melissa reunite and stare at the wreckage. Bobby says, "It's over." And Melissa kicks Rusty's wallet into the wreckage and says, "It is now." Cut to black. A woman's car is stalled alongside the highway. She tries to fluck.
Yeah, she tries to fluck him.
She tries to flag down a semi-truck, and a burned-up hand opens the door, and Rusty Nails says to her, "Get in. She'll catch her death out there." We get a Rusty Nail chuckle, and then the credits roll. End of movie.
I take off your bra.
I'm taking off your bra.
Oh, God. Fuck this movie. Fuck it. Fluck it.
You know what? Fluck this movie.
I was going to say, that's going to be the tagline for this episode. Fluck it.
What category? Oh, do you have anything else before we jump into categories?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
There were so many moments where I'm like, that's got to come back, right? And then no. It just kind of like doesn't.
This is the textbook bad sequel. It tries to do what the original did, but can't do it. It has plot threads that go nowhere. It's just not even, it feels like an unnecessary sequel in all the worst ways. You had the perfect Rusty Nail thing. He ends it or whatever. Depending on what ending you watch, he drives off or whatever. It's like, so he's still out there. It's like the classic John Carpenter ending to Halloween. That's why he ended it that way, because Michael's still out there. And you're not supposed to bring him back again and again and again.
In 7 years.
Until he gets bad. And Rusty Nail came back once, and it was already bad.
I will say, I don't... Joyride 3 is the one I remember the least. And
oh my God.
But I will say that I at least think they do a good job of like subverting just like the road trip aspect. Like there's a little bit more to like the inciting incident of Joyride 3. So.
Well, thank God for that, because this one was dull as hell. And as everybody knows by now, if you've listened to enough episodes of this show, that's the thing we hate more than anything else: a boring ass movie.
Yes. CB Chatter. I don't know about favorite quotes, quotes that stuck out to you.
Actually, as I say, quotes were honestly the highlight of this movie. Of course, your titties are too small anyways. I like them Super Mongo jugs. Yeah, you heard me. Circus boobs.
Shut up, Nick. You're so much cooler over the internet, Kayla. Nick. Yeah, well, so are you.
Woo-wee. That is the finest striptease I ever did see. I'm going to throw this up on YouTube. Get me a million hits. Melissa, who are you? Trucker. Whoever you want, sexy mama. Close them pretty eyes and pretend I'm Kenny Chesney for all I care. Real Jeff Searcy type.
Nick with his cringiest line of the movie.
Oh, God.
Rage Against the Machine, motherfucker! In a movie full of cringy-ass lines. That is the worst one.
I don't know, Jay. We also had Rusty Nails. Heck of a joyride, isn't it? Even though they already said joyride.
when Nick first joins the group, Melissa says to Kayla, fine, but you have to promise to feed him, water him, and clean up after him. Which, I mean, yeah, if a fucking Chris Angel had walked up to the side of my car, I would
mind,
also...
A wild mind freak walked up.
Oh, man, those little mind freaks, they're going to freak your mind.
Get in. You catch your death out there.
Which one's yours again? Bobby stares at Nick. I jest. And then Bobby goes, I don't understand anything you said. You have two rings. You have two things right here, pointing to Nick's two fake lip rings that sometimes disappear in the movie.
She gave me the finger. Now I want it. She gave it to me. Figure it's mine to keep.
They pull up to a gas station. Melissa says, congratulations, Kay. You found a genuine ghost town.
I like the rain. Keeps everybody inside. Watches everything clean.
Said much worse than Ted Levine.
I don't know. Was this in the first one or not? After I read it to you.
You want out? There's your exit.
I don't think it is. I think that was
I say that thought that was a good original Rusty Nail line from this then.
Like I they Rusty Nail's probably the strongest part of the movie.
Oh, he was my positive for the movie, yes. Even though he's not as good as Ted Levine, he's still the best part of this movie.
Do you have any other quotes?
I can't tell if the Goldilocks thing was supposed to be his taillight moment or this is. So I guess you tell me afterwards. Melissa, I don't understand. I did everything you asked.
No, you didn't. I saw you down at the funeral parlor.
And Kayla's like, what's going on? Rusty Nail's like, there's a big difference between a freshly cut live finger and one snipped from a corpse. Less blood in that one you got there. Stiffer, paler. Nails all yellowed. No nutrients, deteriorating. Want to see what a fresh one looks like? Check the glove compartment.
I think that's supposed to be the more like when after Steve Zahn throws the CB radio out. Because I think you're right. I think the Goldilocks moment, like, your blonde hair. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm calling you Goldilocks. You broke into my house, like, just like Goldilocks, like, you know, with your blonde hair. Like, that. I think that's supposed to be the get that taillight fixed.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got.
Fuck it. We've been talking about it enough. Busted taillight, one headlight. Yes. One thing you want to fix, Jeff, one thing you want to praise.
It was really hard. This is one of those movies where it's hard to pick one thing to fix, Jay. But if I had to, we got to get a writer in here. A real writer, Jay, that can write a plot that actually makes sense.
Not the writer of Dumb and Dumber and...
Co-writer of Dumb and Dumber. He literally... Rusty Nail's motivation in this movie makes absolutely no sense. It makes a little bit of sense at the beginning, but then as things escalate and it goes on, it makes less and less sense. Okay, so people break into his house, which apparently he's just hanging out watching somewhere in his truck,
right?
Because he knows all this information. They steal his car, which he seems very pissed off about. He knows how to find them immediately, follows them, starts to torture him, then... destroys his own car, which was the object of what he was following them for in
the
first place.
The thing he was mad about, yeah.
Yes, and then proceeds to continue to follow them anyway. So, we gotta have a plot in here somewhere, don't we?
Nope. Nope, the movie got made.
I also love how they never bring up the fact that they need to get to their bachelor / bachelorette party again either, ever.
I think they bring it up the next morning, like where they're like, oh, we'll be to Vegas by evening, and then that's
never
it.
Never again. Or like you said, the plot threads that they leave around, like, what are you going to do, burn his house down? Never amounts to anything.
Would be a great thing if they think they have Rusty trapped inside and burn the house down, and then his semi comes plowing through the front of a burning house. Yes. Would be a great scene. That would be fantastic. Does not happen.
Nope. We get nothing. Nothing of note in this movie. That's what, if this movie needed a tagline, it could be Joyride 2, End of the Road, Unrated, - Nothing of Note.
my busted tail light is, get Ted Levine back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't tell me it would cost that much to get the original Rusty Nail. You could have Mark Gibbon be the body.
I mean,
but get Ted Levine
for the
back.
Voice.
Come
yes.
on.
I mean, come the fuck on. Ted Levine was on Monk. It's not like he's demanding a high salary to appear in your shit,
right? And it's like, you know, like I said to you on the last episode, is my headcanon is that like Rusty Nail is
a moniker that's passed around.
Yep,
like
it's supposed
to be Pirate Roberts.
Yeah. But like clearly it's not, because this is the same shit, except also it is, because this Rusty Nail is nothing like the first Rusty Nail.
He's clearly not the same guy, even though he drops references to everything that happened in the first movie like he was there.
And I believe in the third movie, even's like, I one time knew a candy cane.
Oh my
it
God.
Happens in the third
oh
movie.
Oh my God.
And it's like, okay, so you are all the same person, even though in the next movie, it will be a third different Rusty Nail.
With no burned hand, I'm assuming.
I think he has tattoos on his hand in the third one.
Ah, okay.
A thing you want to praise. You had already said it.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. Rusty Nail, while not anywhere close to as good as the one in the first movie, is still the most interesting thing about this one. His powers are even more incredible this time around, as tends to happen with slashers, Jay. He seems to be even more omnipotent, and his truck is even more invincible and can go places without getting stuck in this one. I mean, he's got some of the best lines. He's got it doesn't work as well as in the first one, because you don't give a shit about these characters at all. But I mean, he has a scary presence, I would say.
I think it is a problem with like direct-to-video sequels, where you don't give a fuck about, like, they don't do anything to make you care about the victims,
mm-hmm.
because they're, you know, because they're not big budget. They're like, oh, what do people want to see? They want the scares. They want the kills. They want the action.
The callbacks.
And so like, oh, we're just going to like be chock full of that shit. And you're just, oh, but this isn't what I want. Like,
no, generally when you head for a sequel, you're wanting something original.
My one headlight, my praise. I already said it. Kyle Schmidt is Nick. From the second he appeared on my screen to the moment he got a piece of rebar shoved through his skull, I hated him so much and was so happy to see him suffer and ultimately die. 10 out of 10 hate watch performance.
I literally knew as soon as he was so fucking annoying in the first scene, I'm like, well, he's going to live through this whole fucking movie, isn't he? And he almost did.
There was a moment where I went, am I misremembering this movie? Does Nick live the whole time and Bobby gets killed?
Oh.
And I was like, that would make this movie even worse than it already is. But thank God that piece of rebar
yes.
got shoved through the top of his skull.
Unfortunately, it's only about 15 minutes from the end of the movie.
seeing the sights, sets, costumes, etc.
Boo. Boo, Jay Loxton. Boo. They're not good. There's nothing in here. It's just, it doesn't even, I mean, the first one was not like amazing or whatever, but at least captured that road trip feeling and spirit. This one does none of that. Areas are bland. The locations are bland. You don't have any of the like colorful supporting characters to build out the places like you have in the other one. No Sheriff Bobby or anything like that. I mean, the truck doesn't look as good in this one, I would say, in the special effects scenes, even though that's clearly where they dump most of their budget. It's just, it's not good.
Besides the opening scene with the rain and the ending scene where it's clearly on a completely different stretch of road, it looks like the majority of this movie took place the 10 miles either side of a small town where they could film like the funeral scene.
Yeah.
Everything else looks like it's filmed like, oh, the Savannah gravel or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks like the exact same place where they're having the fucking truck, the truck encampment, the drug meth party.
Yeah.
The gas station, the truck stop gas station at the beginning, where Bobby gets kidnapped, looks like the same truck stop that they're using the payphone at later, which looks like the same truck stop gas station, automotive shop that she steals the bike from. It's the same place like all three times.
It is indeed.
All of the actors felt like their costumes all looked very mid-2000s.
Yes.
Which it was. The most interesting costumes were the ones worn by all of the extras, the people in the diner,
yeah,
all of the truckers.
Unfortunately, you get to spend zero time with any of them.
Mongo Circus Drug Trucker, Circus Boobs Trucker, is wearing like a floral wicker hat.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing the most interesting outfit in the entire movie, mm-hmm, and you see him for all of 30 seconds, yeah, and then he leaves.
That, yep. So I said this movie needed a Sheriff Bobby. It needed a supporting, interesting character that stuck around for more than a second.
I think it's kind of the same thing that the first movie needed. Like, it needed either Lily Sobieski to show up sooner, mm-hmm, or it needed like a police officer or an FBI agent, someone tracking this serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't think we get that in the third one. I mean, they're not going to do a Joyride 4. Heaven forbid they do. If they do, there should be an FBI agent trying to hunt down Rusty Nail.
We should do a Joyride 4.
You know what? Yeah, fuck it.
I mean, look at the budget that this one took. I'm sure we could pull it off.
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna do it. We're gonna get Joyride 4, written and directed by Horror for the Holidays.
Yes. Well, written by Horror for the Holidays. Directed by Mike Lombardo.
Yeah, directed by Mike Lombardo.
He doesn't know yet, so don't tell him.
You got me straight tripping. How road trippy is the movie? How road trippy are the kills?
Not at all.
I think the kills felt maybe slightly more road. There's certainly more kills.
Yeah.
Some of the kills are certainly themed around Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But besides like the callback kill, certainly like you do get more stuff involving the road and stuff involving trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the movie, I mean, it's they're going to Vegas, but like it doesn't.
The trip never happens, and they barely spend any time driving, it seems like, in a movie that's centered around driving.
Like I said, the same like 10 miles over and over and over again.
We got to run back over here. Now we got to go back over here. No open highway, nothing.
Final rating, Jeff. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. This, and it's Fat Boy Summer Road Trip Edition. Is this a flat tire, a riding shotgun, or a king of the road?
Flat tire. It's flat, Jay. Nothing redeemable about this thing. I mean, you could try to pull out, like we always do, we pull out a positive, but it was a real stretch to pull out a positive of this thing. You are not going to regret having skipped Joyride 2. It's just, there's nothing in it that's, like, if you watch the first one, you're going to have a way better time, and you see everything that this movie has to offer just done better.
While this is a direct-to-DVD sequel, it's just so unlike the original, while trying to emulate the original at times, that it just falls flat, a flat tire.
Yes, that's what I love the most, when a movie is so clearly trying to copy another movie, but does it so badly it doesn't succeed at all.
Also, turning Rusty Nail into a slasher/jigsaw-type character was such a weird choice. I had warned you about that ahead of time.
Yeah.
When the original Rusty Nail is like a mysterious voice, a mysterious, ominous voice over a CB radio, and this one's just constantly going around, like, you see him all the time. Yeah. Like, and he's, you know, he's acting insane. One of my biggest praises for the original is that it feels like it does so much with so little. Like, they do a great job of making it feel claustrophobic, of focusing on the boys. Of focusing on Steve Zahn and Paul Walker. And this movie is the opposite. This one does so much less with so much more. It's like, because it's a low budget sequel, we've got to cram as much shit in here, but you don't care about the characters. There's no desire for me to care who these people are, where, you know, even though we spend maybe 15 minutes with Steve Zahn and Paul Walker before the rusty nailing starts, like, you know their relationship, you know who they are, you care about them as people. You don't give a fuck about any of these fucking people, like, nope. Because it's direct to DVD. So what do people want? They want their horror. They want the action scenes. They want their kills. So we're just going to give you that, and to hell with actually caring who these fucking idiots are.
Yep. You hit it exactly.
But Jeff, what's that up ahead? It's a tourist trap.
Oh no.
Maybe we're wrong. We're not. But Jeff, you can find it hard to believe there are people who think this movie's better than the original.
Oh, Jay, do I have a review for you.
Rusty Nail 2.0, 10 out of 10. To each their own, but to me, this is the best of the three iterations of the series. Oh. Rusty Nail is menacing yet hilarious.
Okay.
Every time he talks, I crack up. Love this movie.
I don't know if that's a good thing. He's supposed to be scary. It's not a horror comedy.
It sure isn't. What? I was laughing more in the first movie.
Oh, the first one wins for comedy for sure.
No, oh, do you want to go?
Was that your whole review?
That was the whole review.
Oh, okay. The rare sequel that gets meaner, nastier, and better. 5 stars. I know this is going to sound insane to people who worship the first Joyride, but I'll say it. Joyride 2 Dead Ahead is just better. The original is a solid thriller, sure.
I don't know that anyone's worshiping the first one.
Paul Walker and Steve Zahn are fun. Ted Levine is creepy, I guess. And the CB radio prank setup works. I guess. But Joyride 2 takes the basic idea and strips out the early 2000s studio polish.
And puts in late 2000s bullshit.
What's left is a mean, dirty, direct-to-video highway nightmare that feels like something you found in a truck stop bargain bin and then regretted watching alone. Well, I did regret this alone. Rusty Nail is not some mysterious voice anymore. He's a full-blown road demon with a semi-truck, a grudge, and the patience of a serial killer who has nothing but miles and diesel fumes to keep him company, even though he very rarely pulls a trailer in his truck. That's hilarious. The movie is nastier, more brutal, and way more committed to horror than the first one. The first Joyride was just a tease. Joyride 2 rams it through your windshield. Is it classy?
I'm ramming something.
Is it classy? No. Is it better horror? Absolutely. 5 out of 5 stars. Rusty Nail finally becomes the monster he was meant to be.
Yeah, that's what I think of for my horror movies. Classy. I love a classy horror movie, Jeff.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
10 out of 10. A surprisingly incredible follow-up to a great first film. With a basically unknown cast. People keep talking about, like, the unknown cast.
They were not unknown.
The fact that they changed Rusty and the whole straight-to-DVD thing, I went into this movie expecting to be repulsed. I was anything but repulsed. I was bored, but sure. It starts out by creeping you out, then making you laugh so hard you cry. Jeff, I must have missed all these laugh scenes. Other than the continuity error, I didn't laugh once.
I don't know, Jay.
And then just full out blows your mind with it, with the elaborateness.
Oh yeah, so elaborate, such rich plot.
The actors need high recognition because I will probably be slammed for this. I think they did a way better job than Paul Walker, Steve Zahn, and Lily Sobieski.
Huh?
This movie had nothing going for it, and it could quite possibly be the most amazing direct-to-DVD sequel I've ever seen. I don't know if that first line interacts well with the second part of that line.
Yeah.
So basically an awesome movie, 5 incredible actors, and some of the most elaborately sadistic scenes ever filmed.
What?
You barely get any gore.
What?
Give it a chance. Even if you're not a fan of the first one, this one is still great. It locks you in from the beginning and never lets go. Jay. I give it a perfect 10.
Jay, we got to stop, Jay. I don't feel good.
I don't like this anymore, Grandpa. Well, that's too damn bad.
You ready for this?
I am.
10 out of 10, the superior road horror movie. I will defend Joyride 2 dead ahead until my dying breath. The first movie is good, but it's basically a prank thriller that turns into a chase movie. The sequel is pure road horror. It understands the nightmare better, being stranded in the middle of nowhere, realizing the person hunting you knows the roads better than you ever will, and that no help is coming. The desert roads, the isolated diners, the broken down cars, and the nasty little traps all work.
The one broken down car?
Yep.
The one diner?
The dubious amount of traps.
The same stretch of road over and over again.
There's no safety in this movie, Jay. Every building looks abandoned. Every stranger seems useless. Because
it's the same buildings.
And every mile feels like Rusty Nail owns it. That's why it beats the original. The first movie is about young people getting in over their heads. The second movie is about accidentally wandering into a killer's kingdom. And Rusty Nail's kingdom is the highway.
Rusty Nail's kingdom is the highway.
Why it end how it ends.
Why it end the way it is.
Exactly.
Why it end the way it is. 9 out of 10. Much better than the predecessor.
Fuck.
Really great movie. I'm usually mistrustful about a sequels and did not expect something special from this flick, but I watched it at a heat and I don't regret for a second about the spent time. It's atmospheric, dramatic, severe, nasty, sometimes painful to see the brutal, but at the same time, still giving tiny hope for a victory. Likeable, charismatic lead actors. I would not describe these people as likable or charismatic.
No.
Especially Nikki Acox, young, attractive girl, which showed character and fortitude, and by force of circumstances, became a tough fighter, ready for anything to salvage her true love. Camera work, special effects were very good, no doubt. In my humble opinion, this is the classic example of how the horror movie should be made. Decent sequel. Oh, so now we're down to decent sequel of the first part from 2001. You titled it much better than the predecessor. Bravo. I gave 9 out of 10. 31 people disliked that review.
I had a review that pretty much sums up the movie for me, Jay. 0 stars, if I could.
Ooh.
1 out of 5, of course, on Google review. You want to guess what this review is, Jay? It's one line.
Why it end the way it is?
No. Even better.
Is it? There's no bra taking off.
Why no Super Mongo jugs?
You know what? Good point. Why no Super Mongo jugs?
That's what I'm saying. Fuck me, Jay. There's
big
none.
Old circus boobs.
No circus boobs to be had in this thing. In fact, the only pair of boobs you get to see clearly are dead.
9 out of 10. More intensifying.
Yes.
Less star power.
Yes.
Who cares what other people say?
Yeah.
The first Joyride film had star power in it. The sequel. The sequel is filled with unknowns. To me, this movie focuses on the sadistic trucker, Rusty Nail. He drives a Peterbilt, and he is one trucker you don't want to cross. One rainy night, Rusty Nail leaves a truck stop for some smokes, and a lot lizard tries to get some service. I think tries to service him, but sure. Yeah. Little does she know, this was the wrong trucker to service.
Oh, boy.
Freaked out by his requests. I don't think he requests anything other than she take off her wig. Yeah. She tries to leave a heads up that came too late. Then later, an engaged couple are on their way to Vegas with her sister and her punk boyfriend. I believe he's third wave punk emo, which was maybe the second cringiest line in the whole fucking movie. Along the way, the car breaks down and they walk to find service from the lot lizard.
Yeah.
They come across a house and they find a 1971 silver Chevrolet Chevelle that is full of gas and ready to roll. After leaving the information behind to the owner, that's when the nightmare begins. After the foursome go into a diner, the fiance is grabbed by the trucker and the head games are insured. Mm. Insured? I don't know. Rusty Nail demands are so high about no one in the group could bear such torture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, they watched the same movie, but this is...
My soul is leaving my body.
Like sending out a severed middle finger or the fiance do a striptease to a trucker who later wasn't Rusty Nail. I mean, if anyone has someone
He was never Rusty Nail. He wasn't later not Rusty
Nail. I mean, if anyone has someone of life meaning, you would go to extremes to get him or her back. My major question is, who is this Rusty Nail?
Yeah, that's my major question, too.
Better yet, what is he?
Yeah, that's right. What is he?
If you thought Duel was spooky, this movie will make you think twice about hating truckers. Yeah, you'll like truckers because otherwise Rusty Nail will get you.
Oh, come the fuck on.
3.5 out of 5 stars.
What the fuck?
Gave it a 9 out of 10, but then rated it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
That's my last review.
Okay, here we go. The original Joyride is the better thriller. Joyride 2 is the better Rusty Nail movie.
Fuck you.
And that's why I like it more. It turns him into a true road slasher, cruel, relentless, weirdly theatrical, and completely at home in the middle of nowhere. The movie is grimy, violent, and unashamed of being trashy. It doesn't have the polish of the first one, but it has more of a personality. Sometimes the junkier the movie, the better. 4.5 stars.
Jeff, to answer your question, no, he's not all burned up. There's our new Rusty Nail,
who's
clearly a third different actor.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that Stone Cold Steve Austin on there, Jay?
No.
Damn. Texas Rattlesnake could have made a good Rusty Nail.
Oh, man. Fucking. If you want me to give Candy Cane a stunner, give me a hell yeah.
I killed one hitchhiker.
What?
Two hitchhiker.
What?
Three hitchhiker.
What? One lot lizard. What? All right, Jeff, we're sitting back in the diner.
We are.
Where Rusty Nail walks back in. Where are you having this Rusty Nail sit?
He has to sit in the corner across from the other Rusty Nail, but in the position where he's like not quite lit up because he's worse than the first one.
I was going to say, this one is clearly like a psychopath, where the first one was more just, like I said, like an ominous presence.
I think, honestly, the first Rusty Nail would have fucking killed this guy.
Oh, absolutely. I think he gets weaker.
Yeah.
Even though the traps get more elaborate.
I was going to say, yes, he gets more weird and irrational, he gets less scary for me. The first one's more scary because he had like some kind of twisted code or honor system or whatever. This guy's just like, I'll kill you no matter what.
I'm glad that's over with.
Oh, God.
Time for Joyride 3 next week.
No.
But first, it's time for this.
Jay, no.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
You can't make me do Joyride 3. Okay, I know it's the summer. It's the fat boy summer, and we're entering our summer of soda for the second time. But you can't do this to me.
Roadkill 3, roadkill.
Oh, my God.
Do you think in the UK it's Roadkill 3 Joyride?
That would be fucking amazing if that's the case.
All right, Jeff, we got Mirinda fruit-flavored soda apple.
Oh, apple Mirinda.
Purple apple.
Mmm.
And we've got some kind of 7-Up.
It tastes like 7. It looks just like a regular lemon lime.
It does look like a regular lemon lime.
Oh, it's salted lemon.
Okay.
So you're going to have a little salted lemon with your... it's on the label there.
Oh, it sure is. Salted lemon flavored soda. All right, fuck it. Let's try salted lemon.
Let's taste some salty lemons.
Rusty Nail hates them salty lemons. Gonna offer me salty lemons and not give me salty lemons?
I take off your salty lemons.
I take that bra off your salty lemons.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
He should have told Nick to take his bra off.
He should have.
Would have made the movie better. Would have made the movie a 10 out of 10.
No smell. None at all that I can smell.
No, not really.
All right, here we go.
No, Jeff, that's because you have COVID again.
Oh, damn.
Huh. Got the salt part right. That is salty.
I don't hate it.
It's weird.
It's kind of weird.
I weirdly kind of like it.
I mean, this is like, I think this would be good to recover from a hangover with.
I agree. Maybe this is what the Japanese people drink after going out drinking all night.
Maybe. I don't know. It's pretty, like I said, weird but good.
All right, we'll see what Mirinda.
Let's see how Mirinda tastes when she's been soaked in apples.
This 100% smells like grape. This is not apple. I thought it was grape because it's purple, but I'm like, it says it's apple on the label.
Well, here we go. Oh, that's 100% grape.
That's a grape soda. Also, I think the salty lemon from the 7-Up is making this salty grape in my mouth.
Also, I still can't get over the fact that it's made by NetEase Games.
Yeah, that's who Mirinda is, apparently.
Well, that's a thing. I gotta say, the 7-Up is better.
Yeah, I think the 7-Up's better. We've had a little bit of correspondence. Our listener, Batsy Klein, got in touch for the Joyride episode and said the only thing she remembers from Joyride is Candy Cane.
Candy Cane.
And I'm like, well, hopefully you enjoyed the Joyride episode, Batsy, because there was a lot more. This one had a lot less Candy Cane, had a lot more Goldilocks.
That's our only two named listeners, I think. Spencer and Batsy.
Yep. And Robert gets in touch on occasion.
Oh yeah, that's true, Robert too.
I think we've had a couple other correspondents.
All three of you, I take off your bra.
Oh shit. Rusty Nail just did it. Anyways, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email. Let us know your thoughts on Joyride 2.
Or don't.
Or don't. Or if you want to look at the Instagram image I posted for the Joyride 2 image, I made sure to get a little bit of that Steve Zahn in there from the Joyride 1 cover because it's a double disc set. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. We're all over social media. We are at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell for all your audio backup needs. We're on all the podcatchers. Give us 5-star reviews. Tell us 0 stars if you could so we know you're a real sicko who actually listens to the show. Jay, tell them about the Christmas Podcast Network.
Christmas Podcast Network. They won't take your bra.
They won't, but we will.
But we will. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. They've got all sorts of great shows over there. Go check them out. You know what I should have done is I should have looked up the name of Colin Scrooge podcast so I could actually shout it out. So I'm going to do that right now on the air. Jeff, vamp for a while.
Audience, I want you to know something. Or take off your bra. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. And you. Oh, but not you. Even I have limits as Rusty Nail. I'm not taking off your bra.
Scrooge, a Christmas Carol podcast, I believe is what it's called.
Thank God. That was running out of steam fast.
Also, maybe it's not.
Oh, that my God.
Might be something completely different. It says, if I can't figure it out. I'm going to try one other place. Hold on.
You know what? I'm going to talk about a Christmas Podcast Network show host I actually know, Jerry D. I take off his bra again like I did the last time. But no, listen to his show. It's fun. As hard as it is to believe, it's already almost the end of Fatboy Summer after this episode comes out.
What a time to be alive. Nope, unclear. But I don't know. Check out Kringle Talks Christmas or Lit for Christmas or The Holiday Season or Tis the Soundtrack. There's some Christmas podcast network podcast to check out. I just grabbed some off this list. I swear Colin has some kind of Scrooge podcast.
There's a low quality podcast on that network called Horror for the Holidays you could check out too.
Absolutely do that. But yeah, other than that, I don't know what else. We'll see you next week. Oh, also, Jeff, normally vamping just means to go blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been way easier. Blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Sorry. Sorry, if we're doing Horror for the Holidays, Dracula. Blah, blah.
Blah.
This is what Dracula sounds like. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week for Joyride 3, Roadkill. Roadkill 3, Joyride. Roadkill 3, Roadkill. Joyride 3, Joyride.
Hey, audience. I see that blonde hair you got there. You're my Goldilocks. I take off your bra.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Everybody's bra is getting taken off. I'm not stopping.
This fat boy summer, Jeff's taking everybody's bra off.
God, I need to.